How do you do a hello without sounding awkward? Hi, guys.
Not like that.
Welcome to the Wedding People podcast.
With Rihanna Elizabeth and Rebecca Brennan Brown.
Rebecca and I are wedding and event planners, and we wanted to create a little place that we could talk about the stresses, emotions, and process behind planning a wedding.
So if you're planning a wedding, if you're helping someone plan their wedding, or if you just generally are interested and maybe need a bit of help and guidance, then keep listening and I'm sure we will do our best to try and help. In reality though, we might just end up badgering on because that's what we tend to do every single day. So in advance, as this is our first episode, we'll be speaking a bit about what it's like when you first get engaged, the emotions that you experience, and maybe some of the stresses that go through with that. We just kind of want to try and normalise this for people. But to start with, Rihanna, why don't you tell people how we met?
We worked together in the sense that Rebecca was my client. And we developed a lovely little friendship. I was planning her events whilst she was being an event planner for a financial company.
Yeah, working in corporate.
Yeah, so we did lots of lovely dinners and networking events together.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca sent me a mood board and I was like, hey now, this girl is better than me. Like, she should be doing designing.
I'm not better than you. We're different.
We're very different, but
yeah.
And then I jumped ship. Well. You did jump ship and
it took a good year for me to jump ship though.
Yeah. But you'd been doing it for a very long time.
Mm.
And you wanted something a little bit different.
This is probably useful information. How long have you been working in events for?
Oh, 6 years, as in like management and planning, from production, lighting, all the way through to Asian weddings and now luxury market, and a bit of this and a bit of that.
And the reason we're doing this, quite a lot of it, is because you're getting married.
I'm getting married. Yeah, I'm getting married. It sounds so weird.
Still can't get over it. Like, it's so grown up.
I'm a grown up now. The reason why we decided to do the podcast mainly was because we're a bit obsessed with the industry, which is great. Mm. And we love talking about every element of it.
Just love my job too much.
Yeah, we're a bit job obsessed. But I think when I became a bride-to-be, I surprised myself in the way that I lost a bit of control and could not take any of my own advice that I give my own brides and clients. And Rebecca quickly brought me back down to earth again. Jab. With a rather large jab in a rib. Come on now. Yeah, you were mean to me.
On reflection.
Yeah.
Bit of a hard jab. But you needed it though, you were stressing out. But anyway, we just kind of wanted to create somewhere where we could have a bit of fun and maybe try and help people normalise the feelings that they might be having when they've just got engaged. As wedding planners, it's something that we experience quite regularly.
But also the good things,
because
it's not a negative process for most people.
Exactly. Tips and tricks and how-tos and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, and how you might be able to overcome those things. Or
is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to touch on budgets, episodes on venue planning, floristry, production, and bring in some great people who will be able to be much more informative in the expertise of their field. Yeah. Is that the right words? I sounded like I said a lot of long words.
Sentence.
Thank you. I hope it's correct. Grammarly. That Grammarly? That's not even a word. We're going to remove that. Yeah, I try to be clever when I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back on subject. I think we'll also talk about kind of the emotional side of it as well, because there are a hell of a lot of emotions that go into it.
Yeah, especially
not just
comes,
your own.
No. When it comes to the guest list, which we'll dedicate a whole episode to, because that for me was a stress.
Yeah.
And I think there's a majority of what everyone tells us is their biggest stress. But the panic, I think.
Yeah. So that's future. But now,
the panic.
The panic. Right, so I've just had to insert a little thing in here. An apology, because I got up and got a glass of water halfway through us recording this, because I'm not smart. So, soz. Anyway, back to Rihanna talking about panicking, featuring the running tap.
In being engaged, I think, is what it is. Not planning the wedding, it's the panic of being engaged and shit, I have to plan a wedding.
Yeah, it's the second you get the ring on your finger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You tell me.
For me, it was. So the minute it was on my finger, you always have an image in your head of how you are going to react, and I reacted the complete opposite. And instead
we know how you reacted because there's video evidence of it.
But after that, I ended up on the phone for about 2 hours. And Oliver was just family and friends telling everybody. And Oliver was just sitting there like, hi, I've just proposed to you and you're just ignoring me and we're in a beautiful location. For me, it was just telling people.
It's weird, isn't it? Because people will look at it in different ways. And this is my problem with the panic, is that that same panic of calling people is the same panic that doesn't let you enjoy your engagement.
Yeah.
It's the same panic that makes you feel that need to start to plan your wedding straight away. Like, when was it that you got engaged and started planning and all that?
So yeah, I got engaged in the August and we are in December and I have a venue and photographer booked. Mm-hmm. And I'm now currently trying to bring in every other element.
But how long did it take from proposal to freak out? So you got engaged on what, the 30th? Did you say 30th or
19th of August? 19th of August. Yeah.
Your 30th birthday. Dyslexic brain, swap those numbers
around.
That's
fine.
Then how long before you started worrying?
I was engaged for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's not long, is it?
No, and then I decided on the off chance just to call up a couple of venues that we'd seen. And I inquired to 2020, which is the dates that I wanted spring. And they were like, we only have like one Saturday left.
Yeah.
Between spring and summer. And I freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I did not expect, even as a wedding planner, I did not expect those dates to be so booked up. So I had to book a Friday in the end.
Yeah.
In June. Because 2020 is a very desirable date to be on an invitation. And people don't realise that these dates have a massive impact on weddings.
Yeah.
So I was so surprised. And because I wasn't prepared for that, I then lost my mind slightly. Because, I was worried I wouldn't find a venue.
A little bit. But, I mean, it's an important part of it. And I mean, I think it's the same for a lot of people. So our mutual friend Nicole was the same.
Yeah.
She got engaged, but she was worse than you, to be fair, and I don't think she'll mind me saying. She got engaged on, I think, a Monday, flew home from Amsterdam on Wednesday. I saw her on Thursday and she was freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, so quickly. But she's also getting married in 2019, so does that make her not as bad as you? I don't know. I can't tell which one of you's worse. You're both crazy people.
We're both crazy. And we are both in the industry, so Nicole is also an event manager.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because we are in the industry that we were more stressed out. I don't know. I'd be interested
She's
to find
the same,
out.
Though. We've had discussions about this since, and she said to me, I just want to get the venue signed off.
Yeah.
So she's going to look around venues this weekend, which will be, I think, 2 weeks since she got engaged. So that's really soon.
It is soon, but I think you either have a long engagement or you don't at all.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an in the middle. Maybe there is an in the middle, but I know a lot of people who have got engaged and are setting up for a wedding within a year.
Mm.
And usually it was a lot longer, maybe.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. Everyone's experience is completely different. But we only saw 3 venues opposed to some people look at 10 plus.
Yeah.
And I think we were very selective of where we wanted to look, and we picked 3 places that we knew were very us.
Yeah, so a good tip is to not overwhelm yourself and just focus on you know you like. And I think once you've got the venue signed off, it will calm down for you.
I love the way you looked at me. It will calm down.
Will it? Does it? Will it? I don't know. But you've been more calm since that first call that I had with you.
So much more calm. I think it put, well, you brought me down to earth massively with the kind of, why are you panicking like this? But as a planner, knowing me, what was your initial thought when I freaked out? Were you surprised?
No, not at all.
That doesn't say much for me whatsoever.
No, I think it's because I knew that it meant that much to you. That
shouldn't it mean that much to everyone, though?
Yeah, and it probably does mean that much to everyone. But I think in terms of planning decisions and that sort of thing, I think it's so rare now that you're... Because I think people don't want their wedding party to be otherwise occupied on the day of their wedding, and they want them to enjoy their wedding and therefore don't get them involved so much in the process.
Yeah, because they also want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, so how much have you spoken to your bridesmaids about what you're doing?
Well, I have 8 bridesmaids. Oh, your face.
I didn't know you had 8.
I have 8. You had like 2. Hey, you can have whatever you want, guys.
Yeah, you can have whatever you want. It's fine, but
I'm
not even surprised, to be fair. Are they wearing yellow?
No, like, yellow is my favourite colour, but no. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what they're going to be wearing yet. But they haven't all been officially asked either. So you best be good girls or you might get cut from the team. Yeah. And they're excited and involved, but... And I obviously include them as much as possible, but I also want them to be surprised.
Mm.
And I also don't want to tell them too much. Like, yeah. I want them to be there for the fun stuff, but I wouldn't necessarily go to them for the stress,
no.
Which is what I go to you for.
Aren't I lucky?
You're a lucky girl. but it's funny, because I think the kind of old traditional, the bride and the parents do all the planning, I think that's massively changing.
Yeah.
A friend of mine is getting married in Italy next year. I'm her bridesmaid. Yay. She's one of mine, so it's fine.
Does she know?
She does know. She does know, yeah. And they have a planner over in Italy because, obviously, you know, the language barrier. And her partner is pretty much the groomzilla, if you want to label it.
Groomzilla is definitely a thing.
Groomzilla
is a thing. I've experienced
it. Yes.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. So... No, he's great. He had, like, keywords and mood boards and images. So he's been really on it.
Yeah.
And she needs that because she's very much laid back in the sense of, it'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to try not to be too hippie here.
Go on.
We have to put the disclaimer in that I'm a little bit hippie.
Rebecca's a hippie. But it's great.
That dresses in all black all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Those classic roles I don't think exist anymore, particularly with so many same-sex couples, and all those traditions around getting married aren't there anymore. Like, a lot of people won't get married in the church anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of those kind of really old traditions
mm-hmm.
are gone. So
they can be there if you want them to be.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot more people being open-minded and wanting to bring new things to their weddings.
Yeah. But ultimately, one of the couple will always sit mm-hmm. as the more kind of mm-hmm. in-charge position. Or maybe not in-charge. In-charge is probably the wrong way of putting it. The more... That does more of the things. The stuff.
Does more of the stuff.
The things.
The things. There's always going to be someone more predominantly in charge of the planning.
Yeah.
Because... you know, sometimes there can be 2 people equally in charge, and then that can cause more of a problem.
Mm.
But obviously Oliver, bless him, has just said, as long as we don't have fruitcake, you can do whatever you want.
Which and is maybe, nice.
Bless him. But he's like, oh, that's because you're a planner and you know what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, but hey, this is still our wedding. I still want you to be involved. But bless him, he's a little bit useless when it comes to, you know, what stationery paper we're going to pick. what cardstock are we going to have?
Yeah, but if you had someone that was the same as you, you would clash.
Yeah.
Could you imagine double you in a relationship?
Well, I personally think that would be fantastic, but fine. No, the bridal party roles don't exist anymore.
No.
Unless you want them to be there.
I think they're more of a like a title to say, like, this is how much you mean to me, rather than a, like, I'm giving you this because I need you to help me.
Yeah. I think the...
And my mum and dad say to me all the time, actually, when I do weddings and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I've just got to do this and blah, 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 I talk to my mum and dad about it. And my dad is always like, why isn't the groomsman doing that? That's the job of the groomsman.
Mm.
And I don't get that.
Do you not think, though, if someone hires a planner, a lot more does get taken away because they need you to do that for them?
Yeah, and for me, I feel personally responsible. Like, I want those groomsmen to have a really fun day, therefore I'm not going to ask them to do anything.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So maybe if you don't have a planner, that it doesn't work that way so much.
Maybe.
No, I don't think it does. I'm going back on myself.
Okay. We're very informative, aren't we?
Helpful messages. if we go back to the panic, what do you think it was that made you so worried? Was it the money? Was it just getting it all done? Was it the thought that you weren't going to have the most amazing day in the world? Like, what was it? Or was it just the stress of all of that, I suppose?
Maybe, I don't know. I can't. Don't think I can pinpoint a certain element that made me panic more. I think I expected it to be a lot easier in regards to venue.
Right.
And budget. Yeah. I think that's the main thing that all couples will say, it's budget. And there are so many different budgets out there.
Yeah.
The average UK wedding cost now, based on Google, is £30,000.
Yeah.
We know, and that's a lot of money for anybody. Yeah, like, but that's just a lot of money in general, £30,000 to part with. Mm. But I have a close friend of mine who's getting married, and she's spending under 10. And her wedding's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm also working on a wedding now that's around £500,000.
Yeah.
So no matter what the budget, you're always going to worry, regardless if it's going to be 10, 20, 50, 100 plus.
Yeah.
It makes no difference. You're still parting with a large chunk of money for a day.
Yeah.
And I think everyone wants that to be perfect. And it will be. And I think that's the pressure.
Yeah.
Of having a perfect wedding day.
Yeah, see, this is... So I was watching this thing on Netflix the other day, which is like Budget Brides, who it's a great series. They'll be like, it's set in Australia, and which I think is cheating because it's beautiful and they can all get married on beaches for free.
True. We can't really get married on like...
No, I'm not getting married in... Grace Beach.
Southend Beach. Got a nice pier.
Except from the people who are literally just... Oh, now I'm torn because that's what marriage should be about. It should be about being married. It shouldn't be about the venue.
You're going against everything our job is about.
I know.
It shouldn't be about this and that. It should be about getting married. Well, we wouldn't be in a job if we thought.
But that's what
that
made me so upset about Nicole getting so stressed out so quickly. And you, was I was like, you've just got engaged. Like, why can't you just sit and enjoy... Not that, that's making me sound aggressive, and I didn't mean it in an aggressive way. Just in a, like, it made me sad that you both immediately felt like you had to get stuck into this thing of planning a wedding, when really you should be just be enjoying the fact that you've just got engaged. And how long did you want to get engaged for? And I really wanted to say to you, just try and enjoy it for a bit. Mm. I've definitely had that conversation with Nicole.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me... I felt there was a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah.
When actually, really, there wasn't.
No.
And I think that's what it is. And I think that social media has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of beautiful pictures out there, stunning weddings that you save and you pin to your board, Pinterest. You know,
Pinterest perfection. It's a thing.
And you can easily get lost in, oh my god, my wedding needs to look like this. Yeah. And then I think you lose a little bit of direction.
Yeah.
Because it's not a reality, really.
No.
A glossy image. It's great to have direction, and I want to look in this way, and I want my colours to be like that, or my flowers to look like that. But there's a lot of pressure on how things look these days.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also something that I've experienced before with brides is them pulling out pictures on Pinterest that they don't necessarily like, but they look like a wedding. So,
yeah.
I had one a little while ago where someone was pulling out images of like a tall centrepiece that was a really tight, like, sphere of roses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not her style at all. And I questioned it. And she said to me, oh, it's just what a wedding should look like. That's what's on Pinterest. And I was like, no, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you want to do. And also that's where you get in that danger of budget, of seeing all of these things on Pinterest, thinking that's what your wedding's supposed to look like, when in reality it doesn't have to be like that.
No, it needs to be a reflection of the both of you.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you need to kind of claw back.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting that a lot of these beautiful images that you can see on Instagram of wedding setups can also be styled.
Setups,
yeah and setups. So models wearing beautiful dresses, like a lot of them can be styled shoots. And that they do exactly what they're supposed to do. They sell it. And that's what we do, you know. But it's worth noting, don't be overwhelmed by what is on social media. Focus on what you like and what you really want. Don't worry if it's not on trend. It doesn't have to be.
No. And I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you started looking for your dress yet?
I found some Pinterest images. This is, see, I'm one of those. I'm saving the dresses.
And
yeah.
to be fair, I've just said all of that, but I was looking for a dress for Nicole the other day, and I sent her pictures from Pinterest.
We do it. You're going to do it. Don't not do it.
Yeah.
We're just trying to
be aware.
Just be aware not to get lost in, oh my gosh, I need my wedding to look like that.
Yeah. And just something on the dresses that I've noticed on Pinterest is they are always on skinny blonde girls. There's nothing wrong with being skinny and blonde. If you're skinny and blonde, I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
But that is not a diverse representation of everyone.
Yeah. And it's fine because one of my friends is a beautiful, tall, leggy blonde, stunning, and she was a wedding dress model.
Was she?
And I am curvy, dark hair, and a lot of these dresses I know aren't going to suit my body shape. And a lot of girls get on that little podium, try on a dress that looked fantastic in a magazine, and then freaks out.
Yeah.
Because there's not as many curvy, diverse brides, models, out there being shown.
They even are, if, like, different cultures.
Yeah, they are trying, but it's not enough.
No. And if once you're aware of it, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Like, just look for a bride who's not got porcelain skin. It's quite hard to find a picture.
Oh, obviously, we'll touch on this in more detail in a wedding dress episode, but there's a lot of pressure on. You'll take a picture in and you'll take a dress in and it will be on a really stunning model, and then you'll feel like you need to live up to this expectation. Yeah. And that's what it is. Expectations meets reality, and that can really get warped. But that is also the same as with a flower installation or a production. Like, my wedding needs to look like this.
Yeah, and it's about knowing what's suited to you. Like, even down to the dress, it's about knowing what, like, shape works for your figure.
Exactly.
And what works for you. And, like, even if you don't want to wear a dress, don't wear a dress. Do what you want. Like, I'm so not against tradition. If you want to be traditional, that's absolutely fine. But I'm totally all for doing whatever you want to do. I don't know if... I feel like I'm in a sauna.
I'm very comfortable.
Okay. I'm sweating.
Are you?
Just let you say
that. I'm not sweating. No, I'm good.
Look at how clammy my hands are.
Yeah, I'm like...
Ugh. But I really like the idea of getting married in the hills in Italy.
Which, again, is not actually as cost-effective as you think.
No.
Beautiful, though. Mm. And you are almost guaranteed nice weather opposed to over here.
And nice wine.
Oh, and good wine, which isn't as expensive.
And cheese. Not cheese.
Wine
not
and cheese. You know, I think that meant the perfect wedding, wine and cheese.
So if I told you that my end life goal, this is not podcast, so I might cut this out later. My end life goal, have you seen Escape to the Chateau?
Yes.
That's
my
end,
I love them.
End goal. I'm buying a chateau.
I love Dick Strawbridge more than anything. I want to marry him. I think I might actually marry him instead.
I keep saying to Fraser he needs to get better at DIY, because when we have our castle, I need him to fix things. That's my end goal now.
What's his wife's name?
Angel.
Angel. What she
Dick and Angel.
Dick and Angel, that's it.
Love it.
What she did with that chateau and design, I love her. Did you see the wedding one last
week?
Yeah,
yeah.
I do love it. We fell in love with them, and he's so sweet.
I just love it.
She's like, I want you to pull down a wall, and he's like, of course, darling.
Yeah.
That's the kind of marriage I
want.
That's
the kind of love
Someone
I need.
Someone will rip down a wall for you.
That's my end goal now, though, is buy a castle in the south of France. It might not end up being the south of France, it might end up being Scotland, which is significantly less sunny. But I'm going to buy a castle and run it as a wedding venue and do that. Anyway, now what?
Pros and cons to having a planner.
I
sounded really official then. Pros and cons to having a planner.
You did, and I was about to respond in a really professional way and then you ruined it by throwing
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know what? Let's start again. Pros and cons to having a planner.
Can't do it now.
Oh.
I was very surprised that you haven't got a planner.
I am too. I would have felt very sorry for whoever I picked.
Why do you not feel sorry for me? Being the wedding bitch.
You are. But
I don't feel sorry for me, to be fair. You're fine.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought about it, and even before I got engaged, I would have always said that I would have had a planner. But I kind of thought, well, this is what I do for a living, and I begrudgingly didn't want to pay for a planner.
Mm.
Also because we have a budget and we're trying to stick within that, and we also want to have everyone that we want there. So you have to sacrifice, and the planner for me was a sacrifice because...
Yeah, it's quite an easy one too, I suppose.
Because I have your help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what will you do on the day? Because that would be my worry. So I am the total opposite in that a wedding planner is the first thing I'm paying for. But out of everything in the budget, the first thing I'm allocating money for is a wedding planner because...
And that better be me. Just saying.
This is awkward now. I'm joking.
No.
Joking! Oh. The daggers! Jeez! Fucking hell! I'm sitting in a sauna because of you. Of course you could be my wedding planner.
It is very warm in here. Anyway, you're not engaged yet.
Not engaged yet. I reckon that's probably enough for 1 week. What are we going to do next?
So we are going to touch on the different elements of wedding planning from conception to completion. Ooh. Venues, oh, thank you.
Fancy.
Yeah. Venues, well, budgeting, venues, floristry, production, catering...
The emotions.
All the parents.
Yeah.
Parents and partners. A realistic representation, also based on the journey that I'm currently going through as well, from personal experience, and also experience as planners.
Yeah.
What we've seen.
Yeah.
And
I think we'll try and get other people involved as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
Like, we want to try and get some... florists to come in and talk to us, and
venue manager who can maybe tell us all about the things that people look for when looking for their venue.
Yeah.
So the next episode we're going to talk about budgets, different kinds of budgets, budget guidelines.
A budget, I think, also helps you work out what your priorities are.
Exactly.
Which is good.
Because sometimes you'll have an idea in your mind and then you think, I'm going to spend this much on my cake. And then you'll look at the overall cost and you think, I'm not going to spend that much on my cake.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to touch on. Realistic budgets and what you can get for your money.
I think on where you can scrimp and get away with it, where you can't.
Exactly. And how you can save money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what you can adapt and what you can change for either... going cost effective or if you want to have a lavish party. Yep. So, yeah.
And everywhere in between.
That I like that. Fun, we should call our podcast And Everywhere in Between. No. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of The Wedding People. We hope you found it both interesting and enjoyable. We'd love for this podcast to be as interactive as possible. So if you want to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram at The Wedding People Podcast. And you can email us at theweddingpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. We hope to hear from you and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Thanks for listening.